tonight we are going to continue on with this word that the Lord has given us for 2023. Enjoy! Hallelujah! That's a great word because it's a God word. Amen. And you know, sometimes God can just take the most simple things and just kind of breathe a fresh something on it. And just in the last, couple of weeks as I've been preparing, and then since Sunday, since I got to get it out, it's like, every time I'm saying it now all the time, enjoy. I'm just enjoying this. I'm just enjoying life. Come on. That's we got to work it. We got to work the word. And so there's just life in it. You know, the Bible says that the word of God brings life. And so when God speaks something to us, it's full of life. Hallelujah. And so I'm really excited about this word. Enjoy. The Lord saying to us, enjoy. Enjoy the life that we have. This is one of the things I told you on Sunday that he said, that we need to take time to reflect on and enjoy in the pleasures of life in his kingdom. Hallelujah. That we need to purpose to and to live in the fullness of enjoyment that comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. So let me just define enjoy again so that we get a good running start tonight. I got to do a small little recap to get us running in case any of you weren't here on Sunday morning. But the word enjoy means to take delight, satisfaction, or pleasure. It means to possess or to benefit from. And so sometimes when we think of the word enjoy, we think only of the joy in the being happy, in the being like, you know, a feeling or an emotion of being happy. But the word is so much more encompassing than that. And we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight, because the word actually also entails to just being content. Taking pleasure, delighting in, and in being satisfied. And the Lord also told us that attached to this word enjoy, there is a promise to us. And the promise is that as we learn to enjoy and live in enjoyment, that we will sense His presence and that we will experience His favor. Hallelujah. I'm up for some of that. Are you up for some of that? Are you up for some of the presence of God in your life? Yes. I mean, the presence of God showing it up at any moment, at any time. Praise the Lord. Are you up for the favor of God? Come on, God radically moving upon your life, and people just go out of their way just to bless you, to be good to you, to do good things for you. Hallelujah. I'm all up for that, and so is God. And so I'm taking God at His word. And this year I'm going to be remembering Him. I'm going to be putting Him in remembrance of it, that as I'm enjoying this life with God, that I'm going to sense more of His presence and I'm going to experience His favor. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, and you better turn there quickly. I'm going to go real quick tonight. I have a reputation for preaching fast. It's kind of like the Fast and the Furious. Furious in a good way, of course. But that's how my preaching is, fast and furious. I've got a lot to say. I got a lot to say from the Lord. So I always feel like I got to get it all out. I got to get it all out. So get your Bible ready. It's just going to be like Bible drill. I mean, as soon as I say it, turn to it. 1 Timothy 6:17. And I want you to just take note. Basically, I'm going to paraphrase this. But basically, this scripture tells us that we are to not trust in other things, but to trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Hallelujah. God does want us to enjoy life, but He wants us to enjoy life that's in Him, that's with Him, that's through Him. And so really it works this way, that as we put our trust, as we put our hope, as we put our faith in the Lord, as we spend time with Him, as we read His word, as we pray, as we worship, as we serve Him and obey Him, as we yield to Him and please Him, then what happens is enjoying life will be the result. That's how I see this scripture. If we will put our trust in the Lord, then we will enjoy all of the things that the Lord has given to us. And so we could say this, that the better our relationship is with God, the more we will enjoy life. Hallelujah. But God does give us richly all things to enjoy. And the Lord told me that He wants us. He said, everything I have provided. Everything. See, sometimes we get stuck on a certain something, or maybe we don't have a revelation of some things. And so we kind of just put those aside. But there are so much, there's so many things of the Lord that He has provided. And He wants us to enjoy all of it. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Luke 12, 32. One thing that God has given us that really kind of encompasses everything. But Luke 12, 32 says this, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." God has given us the kingdom of God. God has provided to us with His pleasure. He has provided to us freely the kingdom of God and everything that is in His kingdom. We're to enjoy that. We're to understand what the kingdom of God really is, how the kingdom of God differs from the kingdom of the world, how we are to understand that we might be in this world, but we're not of this world. And so we need to understand the kingdom, learn how to live in the kingdom, understand the atmosphere of the kingdom, understand the ways of the kingdom. Understand the culture of the kingdom. Hallelujah. This is what we have to know, this so that then we can live in the kingdom and benefit from all of the things that the kingdom provides. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Talking about just some things that God has given us and us needing to take pleasure in it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says this, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you." How about that? How many of you would like some grace and peace multiplied? Hallelujah. We got grace and peace, and it can be multiplied. "In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." Look, His divine power has given to us, has already given to us. Not going to give to us, but we've already been given everything that pertains to life and godliness. Hallelujah. "Through the knowledge of Him who has called us by virtue and glory, by which have been given to us." Here's something else we've been given. "Exceedingly great and precious promises." Hallelujah. We've been given promises. God has promised some things to us. He wants us to know those things so that we can enjoy those things. "That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature." We've been given the nature of God. The nature of God Himself, the character of God on the inside of us. To help us get through life, to help us enjoy this life. "Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And so we're to learn how to enjoy. We need to enjoy being a son of God, that we're not an orphan, that we're loved, that we're accepted, that we're chosen. We need to learn to enjoy that we are a citizen of heaven. We need to learn to enjoy. Be thankful for the peace of God, the love of God, the joy of God, the grace of God, the power of God, the goodness of God, the wisdom of God, the authority of God, the blessings of God, the vision of God, the provision of... Come on, we could go on and on and on, because really there is no end to the goodness of the things that God has given us. And so we need to be thankful for what God has given us. We need to be a people who don't take our blessings for granted. We need to be a people who are content, taking pleasure, getting satisfaction, first of all, only from the kingdom. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul made a statement about being content. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. I'll just give Pastor Chaz a head start for next week. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. He says this, "Now, not that I speak in regard to need." So he's saying this, "For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." That is like just that one statement. If we could learn that no matter what, whatever state, and talking about need or whatever might be in front of us, no, that I'm content. I'm content in the Lord. I'm content knowing what I have. He says, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Listen to this. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So what Paul was telling us here is that he had learned to live contently. He had learned to live satisfied. He had learned to live at peace in life, through all the stuff of life, and through his life particularly. And if you read the life of Paul, Paul went through some stuff. Paul went through some hardships. Paul, the Apostle Paul, who was living with God, who was the Son of God, who got great revelation of God, who had what we would say the anointing of God upon his life, still went through some stuff. I mean, he was shipwrecked. I mean, he was beat. He had fastings. He was naked at times. He was without. I mean, the list goes on and on. You can read about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. All the stuff that Paul, just some of the various things that he went through. Near death at times. But here he said that no matter, even in the midst of that, everywhere and at all times in all things, he learned to be content. And you know what? I believe that because I don't believe God would have let him write it in the Bible. Because the scriptures are given by inspiration of God. Amen. And I don't believe God would let him write that in the Bible if he hadn't done it. And he learned to be particularly content in his life. Paul didn't have the same life as Peter. Paul didn't have the same life as John. We have to learn to get content with our life. With what we've been given, what God puts in our hands with our gifts, our abilities, our assignments. We don't compare ourselves to one another. We don't look around and say, God, why them and why not me? No. We need to get content. Amen. With what God has given us, of who we are. If we're constantly look around in need, thinking, well, I don't have and I don't have. Really, the only thing more that we need is more of God. We need to be, when we're thinking of something we need growth. Amen. When we're thinking of something that we need, it's not material things. It's not a better lot in life. It's not more education. It's not more money. It's not any of those type things. It's we need more progression in God. If we're going to think that we need some more, that we need how about this, that we go further in the Lord, that we increase. How about we mature? How come everybody's not quite as excited about maturing, being sharpened, sometimes being chastened, come on, being peeled back and stripped back? Amen. Where it's just you and the Lord. Come on, where the Lord's touching your attitudes and your motives and your things like that. Come on, we ought to be as excited about getting more of that as we are about getting more money or getting more whatever it is that you're after, more fame or more acknowledgement or more acceptance. All those things are fleeting anyway when they don't come from the Lord. And the truth is they'll never satisfy you. You'll always be chasing them. They'll come and they'll go. And they'll wag you around like the tail of a dog. They'll just wag you around all through life. And you'll find yourself not enjoying life. Because you haven't learned how to be content. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Pastor Jazz was told by the Lord a long time ago, at a time he was fairly new in his spirit-filled life and walk with the Lord, and he was going through something, you know, a little unsure about life and feeling a little maybe not knowing. And so when you don't know something, you know, in your soul, you might want to be a little discontent. And the Lord just told him, you're going to have to learn to enjoy the ride. Just enjoy the ride. The truth is we are on a ride of life. Listen, whether or not you meant to, you got here and now you are in it. You are on the ride. The ride is happening. And so I just say, get happy about it. Embrace it. Hang on to it. Ride it wherever it goes. But you know, you don't want to be the one. You know, you see the video sometimes of the one and they're like, you know, they're crying or they're all freaked out. No, and then you see those that are like, That's how we have to take on life. Because remember, we're doing this with God. We're doing this with Him, and that just makes everything good. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Just be content with what you have. How about getting up every day and counting some good blessings and counting the things that you do have? Being thankful for what you do have instead of looking at what you think you don't have. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 through 8 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. We think great gain is like, you know, operating in the power of God and seeing signs and wonders and miracles. And there's some gain in that, gain for the kingdom. But the Bible says that contentment, godliness with contentment, just living a life with God, very content, is great gain. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, and joy really is about attitude. So I briefly touched on this on Sunday, and I said I was going to talk about it. So we're going to do it right now. Attitude and perspective are things of the heart. And the things of our heart, the condition of our heart is very, very important in our kingdom life. We know that Proverbs 4:23 says this, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Okay, so keeping our heart right, and don't forget our soul is very connected to our heart. And so really, if you'll keep your heart right, if you'll protect it, if you'll put the right things in it, if you'll guard against the wrong things getting in it, you'll find that your soul will be in a better place. And I always say this, as the heart and the soul goes, so goes your life. Did you hear that? Not as God desires for you, so goes your life. As your heart and soul go, so goes your life. So in other words, if your heart and your soul are in a good place, if they're feeling good, if they're living in some enjoyment, your life is really going to go that way because you that's how your heart feels about it. Enjoyment positions our heart and our soul properly. It positions us in the right place with the things of the Lord now and the things that are to come. I fully believe that there are sometimes things that we miss that were ahead of us in the future because our heart wasn't in the right place for them. Our heart wasn't positioned. We entered into murmuring, complaining, grumbling, not being able to keep our eyes on the Lord, not being able to see the right thing. It's important what our heart is doing. The Lord told me this. He said, learn to enjoy life. That's my desire for you. If you will cultivate your enjoyment, then you will see your life be better and brighter. And so when the Lord said that to me, I was thinking about a diamond. And a diamond is a very beautiful gem. But really, when you get a diamond in the right light, I mean, you can just see the beauty of the diamond. And as you turn the diamond, when a diamond is cut and it has all the different facets to it, and you hold it up to the light, just every facet that you look at, you see something different. The light shines upon it in a different way. It reflects different colors. And it's all beautiful. But it's as you get it in the right light. You have to see it in the right light. And that's how really our life is. We were all created by God with a designed life from God. And it's a beautiful life. So we need to settle that right there. God desires for all of us to have a beautiful life. And we need to hold our life in the right light, the light of the Lord. We need to let the light of the Lord shine upon every facet of our life. If we can do that, what we'll do is no matter where we're at, no matter what's going on, we'll see God in it somehow. We'll see a provision of God. We'll see a promise of God. We'll see something that allows us to see the good or the beauty that is from God in our life. But we have to do it in the right light. And listen, there's a lot of things that are shining light and trying to shine light all over the place. There's an old saying, and it goes like this. It says, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Have you ever heard that? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. What that means is that the approximation of beauty will differ greatly between different people. Like if you were to show several people the same thing, the value that they would give to that or the ranking that they would give to that in the area of beauty would be different according to each person. So each person really has their own subjective appreciation or evaluation of life. And I want you to know that that holds true about the Christian life. It holds true about your life. That the beauty of your life is in the eye of the beholder. And the beholder is you. How you see it. And it really does matter. It matters what you see in your heart when you think of your life. Because the Bible says this in Proverbs 23:7. It says that as we think, so are we. As we think is what we become. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18 says that as we behold the Lord, we become what? More like Him. Being changed from glory to glory. We become like what we're beholding. We become like what we're looking at, what we're seeing. So what you're seeing about your life, whether you're seeing the negative, what you're seeing, when you're seeing the holes, the things you don't think you have, the things you're unhappy with, when you're beholding those, you're being changed. Your life is changing. It's conforming. It's lining up with that same pattern of what you're beholding. And that's why the Lord is telling us we need to learn to enjoy life. We need to be look at our life from the perspective of God and what God says about us and how God sees us. The Lord is the ultimate optimist. Did you know that? The nature of God is the ultimate optimist. He only sees the good. He only sees the best outcome. He sees all the potential, all the possibilities. And the Bible says we have the nature of God. So this is one thing as a Christian that we have to let be changed about us is we can't be pessimistic. We can't be negative people. We have to catch ourselves. We have to let our mind be renewed. We have to renew our thinking so that we can think right, so that we can see right. We have to see the potentials. We have to see the things that are possible. We have to see the good. If we will see the good and behold the good and enjoy the good and talk about the good and confess the good, that what God say, He said our life would get better and brighter. Because our life will follow after our heart and our soul. And so that's the first part of that. I like this scripture here in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. That's talking to young people. It says young man here, but I believe most of these things you can apply to any season of life. It says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. It says, walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. In other words, it's telling us that we have to learn to enjoy life from our heart and let that be our standard. Let that be where we're going. Let that be what we focus on. And the truth is, one day we are going to stand before the Lord and give an account. If we have a pessimistic attitude and all we see is the negative, we're gonna answer for that one day. Right? When we stand before the Lord, thank God we don't get whipped. Thank God there is no punishment. But all of our works, they're put before the fire. We're gonna see what comes out. So we have to learn to enjoy life, to look at things from a good perspective. We also have to remember that spiritually speaking, what you can see spiritually is what you get. If you can't see it in your heart, you're not going to get it. And what your heart is going to see is what your mouth is talking about all the time. It's important that we can see the right thing. And you remember last year, part of the there is more, the Lord was talking to us about dreaming, about being able to dream, about being able to dream again, about being able to dream bigger. What is a dream? It's something we haven't yet attained. It's a hope. It is the potential, the possibilities. And I want you to know that you will dream better, you will see better from a place of enjoyment. When you're enjoying life, when you're enjoying God, when you're enjoying the kingdom, when you're enjoying everything that God has given us, when we can live from that place in our heart, we will see better. We will see what's ahead. We will see what God has for us. So we have to learn to live within. You know, another definition I told you Sunday of enjoy is within joy. We have to live life within joy. And we do that because we have who living on the inside of us? We have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us, who is the oil of joy. Amen. And so we have the ability to live from a place of enjoyment. And that's why the Bible says in Proverbs, when it said guard your heart or keep your heart with all diligence, we have to be very diligent about this, about what's coming in our heart. What are we letting in our heart? We have to guard our heart. We have to guard our mind. We have to guard our thoughts. We have to guard our words. And if we'll do that, just that alone, just not saying something negative, just not complaining about something. Because usually when you complain, it's not one sentence. Oh, no, now there it went, and now I'm going to say something else, and I'm say something else. Before I was spirit-filled, you know, I was a Christian, got saved as a young girl when I was 10, thank God. But I went for many years before I was spirit-filled, before I started really gaining a greater revelation of God's Word. And I used to say this sometimes. I would usually only have like one friend, and I would say, I just need to vent. And that meant I just got a lot of stuff in here, and I just need to get it out. Just get it out one time, I'm just going to vent, and then it'll be over with. And then when I started living in the kingdom, I found the scripture that says only a fool vents their feelings. I only had to read it one time. And I have never even had the thought that I want to vent. I don't even vent to God. I go to God and I say, God, no, God. And before I can, I'm not going to vent because only a fool vent. Doesn't matter whether I'm venting to somebody else or I'm venting to you. And so inside my heart, I'm just going to be real quiet right now. And I know that you can see my thoughts. And I know that you know. And I'm going to get my heart right now. I'm getting it right now. I'm not going to let that bother me. I'm just going to enjoy life. And then I just work myself into steady. There you go. Being content. Being satisfied. Taking pleasure in God. You know what? No matter what, I can still know that God is good. Let's just talk about the goodness of God. Let's just think about the goodness of God. To turn our mind, we have to think right. Amen. In order to guard our heart, in order to live in enjoyment, we're going to have to think right. We're going to have to think like God. This is my go-to scripture for thinking right. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. I'm giving you a good start for next week. It says, finally, brethren, put this one up there. I want them to see it. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue or if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In other words, think of the enjoyable, the delightful, the pleasant, and the good things of the Lord and this life in Him. That's how we live in enjoyment. Hallelujah. That's how we do it. And sometimes, you know, I'm always honest with you. Sometimes I'm in a spot and I'm like, I'm reading this and I'm like, I can't think of anything right now that fits this but Jesus. Okay, I can't think of anything, you know, because the stuff, it just seems so big right now. But Jesus fits all these categories. So I'm just going to think on Jesus. I'm just going to close my eyes. I'm just going to think on Jesus. And I just begin to think on Jesus in whatever way that comes that day, whether it's His beauty, His glory, His majesty, His excellence, His goodness, His loving kindness. Come on, whatever it is, I just begin to think on Jesus. Just get my eyes on Jesus. Just get my heart on Jesus. That's how you learn to think right. Amen. If it's not in this category, and if it doesn't fit all these categories, It can't be just true, but not praiseworthy. See? We got to take all our thoughts and put them right back here. And this is how we learn to live life, enjoying it with God. Hallelujah. Which is what God's desire for us is. The other thing we have to do, of course, is speak right. Think right and speak right. And so when we speak right, we have to speak life. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So many times you'll find out what's in your heart by what you're saying. So we need to make sure that we're saying the right thing, because life and death are in the power of the tongue. But I like this scripture. Turn with me here in 1 Peter chapter 3. Just trying to show you a few things that you might not have put together in this realm. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, talking about speaking right and it being tied to our enjoyment. Verse 10 says, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit." So I would say anything that falls outside the realm of speaking rightly in accordance with the word of God would fall into that category. So if we can refrain our tongue from evil speaking and our lips from speaking deceit, we can end up loving life and seeing good days. That's how we live in enjoyment. Why not using our words to create the atmosphere that we want? Isn't that what the Bible says? Call things that be not as though they are. So we can use our words to basically create enjoyment, be expressions of enjoyment. Hallelujah. Talking about guarding your heart and putting the right things in your heart. You know, people are a big part of that. We need to learn to enjoy people. Maybe not all people. There might be some people that you might need to disconnect from. This is serious. If you've got people that are running a wrong grain against your heart all the time, you may need to disconnect some. You still love them, but you don't hang out with them. But having the right people in the right place at the right time, that can be a great enjoyment to you. And sometimes, I'll just be honest, sometimes spiritual family, because we're in this life together, doing it together, loving God together, serving one another, sometimes we find a lot more enjoyment and delight in each other than we do sometimes with natural family. And that's okay. Still got to love them. Got to be kind to them. Got to treat them right. But God does want us to enjoy people. And so I just want to tell you that, you know, sometimes as we go along in life, really as everybody goes along in life, there's always comes the time when there's somebody, and several people usually the further you get down the road, that, you know, something's going to happen. And they might, you know, they might make your heart sad. You might find out that, you know, you got a little disappointed or things didn't work out exactly quite like you want, but you can't stop loving people. You can't stop finding delight in people. We have to keep our heart open for people, even if we know sometimes our heart's going to get pulled out, yanked down, trampled on. We still have to love people. God wants us to enjoy people. Don't turn there, but I like this scripture in Romans 15, verse 24. I think it's interesting that Paul took the time to put this in there when he said, "Whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you, for I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while." We really are called to do this life together with God. We're called to do it together. And that's why we tell people all the time that you're never going to be a really good, satisfied, living life fully with God, Christian, doing it on your own. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We got to learn to enjoy life. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm enjoying it. You know, God is constant in life. And so we have to remember, on Sunday, I was telling some things that Pastor Chaz had said, and one is that no matter what, no matter when, no matter wherever, whatever, whenever, that the Lord is already there. And so we do have to remember that God is constant, and if we're going to enjoy life, one secret to enjoying life, I wrote this down, is that he's not just the God to run to in times of trouble. Oh, I see this so often today. People that want God, when they want God, something of God, need something from God. But when they seem to be in a place where life is okay for them, then they're far from God. There's no serving God. There's no obeying God. We don't just run to God in times of trouble and in situations and in intense moments. He's also the God of the communion and fellowship. He's a God to live with and enjoy life with in all times and in every moment, in the good and the bad, in the sun and in the rain. Just a minute, I just sense the heart of God. How he yearns for his people to be with them. And not just that they're choosing in certain moments, but just with them all the time, Lord. Lord, just draw them, Lord. Lord, just draw them in any way that you can, Father, draw them. Thank you, Lord. There's more to the kingdom life and there's more to our God than that. He is also the God of peace. He's not just the God of crisis. He's not just the God of need. He's the God of love. He's the God of companionship. He's the God of helpership. He's the God of just being right with us in every day and every part of life. God being the greater one does mean him being greater than all our situations. And it does mean that the greater one that is in us, because he's in us, that he brings us into an extraordinary earth life. I believe that. That we can live an extraordinary earth life because it's all about perspective. We need to enjoy who we are in Christ. And be reminded of this, that when it comes to our life, when it comes to my life, and when it comes to your life, you need to take this personally. This is what God told me. He said, I've thought of everything, and I've left nothing out. When it comes to your life, the path that he chose for you, the plan, and everything that he gave you in connection with it, he said he thought of everything. And he didn't leave anything out. He said he didn't overlook anything. We see that in Psalm 139. Let's just read that scripture real quick. Psalm 139, verse 13 through 18. This is speaking to God. It says, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb, and I will praise you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. When you think of yourself in relation to how God made you, you need to think of marvelous. You need to think of fearfully and wonderfully made. Not all your failures. Not all your flaws. That's looking at things from the wrong perspective. And that my soul knows very well. Our soul is to know very well who we are in Christ. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, look, and skillfully worked in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, yet being unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me. As yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them, that if I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. And when I wake, I am still with you. God spent a lot of time, a lot of effort in planning your life, in designing your life. You have a God life. You didn't just come out of the womb and then things just happen. Before you ever even took your first breath in the earth, God had already thought about you. He'd already made all the provision for you. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. We're to have a hope in God. We have a future in God. We have good days ahead. We have bright days ahead. Come on, we've got to learn to enjoy this life. One of the things that Pastor had said that I repeated on Sunday was that we have everything that Christ is and that Christ has. But part of the definition of enjoy is to benefit from something. And so if you're going to benefit from something, you have to use it. You have to know it and you have to use it. It's like you can have a membership at the gym. You can have paid your dues. You can have, if you were to go to the gym, it might be a top-notch facility. You might be able to swim in hot water. You might be able to swim in cold water. You might be able to run around a track outside. You might be able to run around a track inside. You might have every device that there is, every rolling ball, every type of machine, Bowflex and free weights and everything that you can possibly imagine. There might be every type of machine that you can get on there. And that really, if you were to take full bit of that, you could come out being really healthy. Or at least being in shape. But you can have that membership, and if you don't use it, you're not going to benefit from it. Amen. And this is why I hear the Lord talking to us about, come on, we're going to have to learn to enjoy everything He's provided. We do need to stretch our faith a little bit more and get real active with God of partaking of everything that He's given to us. It's not just okay to say, well, my history is this. My family history is this. We've always had this and we've always had that, and so I'm just okay with it. No, you can't be okay with it. That's not how God, if God hadn't defined it that way. You can't stay in poverty because you have a history of that. You can't be okay with that. You can't be okay with that. God wants you to enjoy all the blessings of life. He said that your cup would be full. He said that He'd supply all your need according to His riches in glory. So we have to understand what God has given us and go after it, want it, use it, say it, believe it, do it. When we do get something that's really of great value to us, or we see the good in it, or we get something that can make life or living life better or living life easier or more effective, if we've really figured out the benefit of it, then we do use it. I remember a good story for me was many years ago when I was traveling. This was before iPads and electronic tablets and things. You know, I would go places and I would prepare with the Lord and kind of get a feel for what the Lord wanted to do. But I never knew exactly what was going to come. And I had paper notes. All of my sermons, all of my things that the Lord had given me were in my paper notes. And so I would drag across the world stacks of papers. Big old binders, you know, and not all of them. All of them wouldn't have never fit, but I would try to get the right ones. And I'm lugging them through the airport. And when the electronic devices came, the tablets came, I thought to myself, because all my notes were in the computer. I thought, I might could get these out of the computer and into my iPad. And if I was to get them into my iPad, number one, I wouldn't be dragging these heavy paper all over everywhere. Wow. And then I thought, and then I could get anywhere and just at any moment preach anything that came up from the Lord, because I would have all of my notes, everything that the Lord has ever told me and the way He's put it together for me, I'd have it right there at my fingertips. I think I want that. I saw the benefit of it. And so when I wanted to get it, this was kind of in our early days, and so Pastor Chaz was, still is, the technical guy. And Pastor Chaz is anti-Apple. I'm talking about anti-Apple. And so he told me, he said, if you get that thing, I'm not helping you at all. He said, I'm not doing it. It's a different operating system. I don't know it. I'm not going to be involved in it. And he was saying that because he was thinking, I just wasn't going to do it. But you know what? I saw the benefit of it. I saw the benefit. I saw how it could benefit me. And I was so determined that even beyond him, even though he wasn't going to help me. And I listen, when he says something, he means it. But I saw the benefit of it. And I thought this would make my life more enjoyable. This would make my life, my preaching life, more pleasurable. Come on, that this would be really good for me. And so I bought it. And I learned it. And I got all my notes in it. And I started telling Pastor Chaz, I love this. I love my iPad. I love my iPad. My iPad is so special to me. I'm enjoying my iPad. And I still tell him today, I enjoy my iPad. I love my iPad. Look what I can do on my iPad. I even tried to get him a tablet, not an Apple tablet. Not an Apple tablet. I knew better. I tried to get him a tablet. He was like, He might have used it maybe like 5 times. But for me, I knew that that could make my life more enjoyable. That's how we need to see the things of God. When we read something in the Word, when we see something that maybe we don't have the fullness, instead of getting down and out and feeling like, woe, pitiful me, and taking a negative approach, we need to say, wow, I see that. God's already provided that for me. That'll be enjoyable for me. That'll help me, so I'm going to go after that. Thank you, Lord, I receive it. Thank you, Lord, I believe. And you just got to turn it around, put your right words on it, put your right thoughts on it. But you're going to have to use it. And the more you use it, the better it is. The once I got my iPad, man, I mean, then it wasn't just the notes. I mean, it's all kinds of things I do on my iPad. And it is so enjoyable to me. The more I use it, the more I enjoy it. The more I use it, and sometimes I do something, I'll be, wait, what just happened right there? Let me see what that was. God has provided so much, so much. When we think about God and this life that He's created for us, it provided everything for us. He said He didn't leave out anything. He didn't overlook anything. We got to learn to enjoy it. We got to learn to enjoy it. Hallelujah. Karen had a word from the Lord on last, I don't remember if it was Sunday night, maybe it was Monday night. We were praying and we had taken a little bit of time to sit quietly before the Lord and journal and then see what the Lord had said. And most people didn't share, and it wasn't for most people to share, but Karen had something that she felt like she wanted to share, and I loved what she shared because she had no idea that it already tied into what the Lord said. And he said this is what he told her. He said, be a good steward in what I have given you and what I have directed you to do. See, to be a good steward is to know what God has given us and to use it. And listen, there's nothing that puts us outside the parameter of continuing in what God has given us. We never get too old. I've been there, done that. He said, be a good steward of what I have given you and directed you to do, and it will be a joy. And it will be a delight. And it will have with it an ease, for I give you grace for every good deed. So enjoy my journey, for I am in you and I am with you. The Lord wants us to enjoy the journey. Can enjoy the ride. The ride is kind of for me where I'm at in the moment and everything that's happening in that moment. But for me, the journey is every part beginning to end. Amen. I'm in it for the long haul. Amen. We need to be in it for the long haul. Amen. And we need to be in it to enjoy it for the long haul. Every season, every place, every assignment, every gift, enjoy every project. Enjoy every path. Enjoy every season. Enjoy the Christian life now. The big things, the small things. And the big moments and the small moments in everyday life. God gives us a fresh start every day. Every day we get up. Every day His mercy is new. Every day we're a new creation in Christ. Every day there are endless possibilities standing before us. We need to enjoy it. We need to enjoy every day. So this season right now, because God is saying this, We're thinking now, when we get up, today's the day. I'm going to enjoy it. There's freedom in enjoyment. There's great freedom in learning to live life from a place of enjoying it. It's so much better to just live life content, pleased, satisfied. We can enjoy life because God has covered us. You can look these up. Psalm 37, 18 and 19. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. Acts chapter 2, 46 through 47. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Remember, no matter whatever, whenever, and wherever, the Lord is already there. So in everywhere, everywhere, anywhere, in all times, in all things, we can enjoy life. We can't enjoy it with God. Why can we enjoy it? Because we already read the book. We can enjoy it because God has already said we're more than conquerors. We can enjoy it because God has already said we would overcome. We can enjoy it because God has said that we are triumphant. We can enjoy it because we know we always have the victory. We can enjoy it because we know that we succeed. We can enjoy it because we know that we win. This has to be our attitude. Not that I'm defeated, not that I'm a nobody, not that my life is downcast and without God. We're living with God, and we are to enjoy it. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Sometimes we just have to make a shift. We have to recognize where we might be have been looking at things a little not properly. Just make a decision. Since the Lord has said this to me, I've been up in it, man. I've been up in my game in it. Just enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. No matter what I'm doing, I'm enjoying it. And sometimes I'm like, no, I'm just going to enjoy it. Praise the Lord, I'm just going to enjoy it. And you know what? When you get to the end of the day, you'll realize that your day really is just a whole lot better. Because there's in any day, in any time, there's going to be opportunities. Because we don't live in a perfect world. We live in a fallen world. There's stuff all around us. Stuff all around us. But you know who else is with us? The Lord. His presence, His goodness, His kindness, His love, His mercy, His everything is with us at every moment. And so when we start feeling, I'm just going to enjoy it because God is right here with me. And if I need a little bit of grace, I'm just going to tap into grace right now. I got the grace of God. How about we have a confession every day in 2023? I know y'all are getting a late start. Now, we're already 11 days into it. So you're going to have to make up for your first 11 days. Might have to spend a few extra moments. How about if every day that we got up in 2023, our confession, knowing that in our confession we're going to make application, we just say that the Lord is here with me and I will enjoy today. Come on, the Lord is here with me and I will enjoy today. Come on, the Lord is with me and I will enjoy today. Come on, the Lord is with me and I will enjoy life. I will enjoy life. I'm just going to enjoy life. Just make a decision every day. Just start saying, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. There's no reason why I'm not enjoying it. I'm enjoying work. I'm enjoying my spouse. Come on. I'm just enjoying it. I'm just enjoying it no matter what I'm enjoying. I put on a smile on my face and I'm enjoying it. I'm going after it. I'm enjoying it. Hallelujah. I might laugh at it a little bit. Glory to God. I'm just going to enjoy it. I'm going to make it a good ride. I'm on a ride. I'm going to make it a good ride. I'm going to throw my hands in the air, wave them around like I just don't care, and have a good time. Come on. If we'll do that, if we'll just get up every day, you might have to say it. You know, in the beginning, you might have to say it a few more times. You might need to say it in some moments. But if we'll do that, we'll find in 2023 that we will be more joyful, happier, lighter, and less stressful. Amen. I'm going to say that again. If we will get up every day and make a confession and put a little application with our confession, we will find this year that we will be more joyful, happier, lighter, and less stressful. Amen. And your life will be a better Christian witness. Amen. To everyone. Your life will be a better Christian witness to your spouse, to your kids, to your siblings, to your coworkers, to your boss, to your friends. Come on. Why a better Christian witness? Because when they see you living life and they're just like, you enjoy it, don't you? I enjoy it. And when we learn to enjoy life, then we make life more enjoyable for those that are around us. Hallelujah. So every day there needs to be a fresh testimony on our lips of God's goodness. Today we wake up, the Lord is here, and I'll enjoy today. For the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. The Lord is good right here now today with me. His goodness is here. And that'll cause us to thank Him and to praise Him. Everything that God gave us is a gift. It's a good gift. It cost Him something. Cost Jesus everything. So through any difficulties, through any hardships, we have to know that God is with us and He will deliver us. He will deliver us out of our troubles. If we cannot complain. Come on. I heard Joyce Meyer say this years ago. Complain and remain. You need to get you a few one or two liners that you can anchor your life to. Complain and remain, or praise and be raised. That's what she said. Praise and be raised. Come on. It's your choice. The other thing I got a hold of years ago that helped me in relation to life, and it came really when I was in a very, not a good spot. But I learned that every day I have a choice. When I wake up, it's a choice every day. I can be powerful or pitiful. Pitiful, downcast. Woe me, this isn't right, this is so bad, why is this happening? And I'd get up every morning in the mirror with life like around me all just like so messed up. And I would look in the mirror and I would say, today I choose to be powerful and I will not be pitiful. I'm powerful. Every day I would look in the mirror and I would say it. And if a feeling came or a thought came, it's my choice. God doesn't get to choose for me. I wish He could, but He doesn't. The devil doesn't get to choose for me. No way. It's my own choice. It's your own choice. You got to get up every day and say, today, this is it. I'm enjoying today. I'm just making a choice. I'm enjoying today. I'm going to look myself in the mirror. Yep. Today's going to be a good day. I'm going to see the graciousness of God today, the kindness of God, the goodness of God today, because I'm just going to enjoy it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Never forget the goodness of God. Never, ever, ever forget the goodness of God. The goodness of God never changes. The goodness of God doesn't vary. It doesn't change in measure. It doesn't come and go according to what's going on in our life at all. The goodness of God is consistent. He's always good. He's always good. He's always good. God is always good. He's always good. And that's why we can just enjoy life. Got to find something of the good in it. The good may be a promise. The good may be, hey, you know what? I see this, but now I get to do this. I get to have faith in God and watch God bring me through this so I'm bigger, better, brighter when I come out. Hallelujah. I'm just going to enjoy it. I'm going to, like Pastor Mark says, I might be swinging over hell, but I'm going to swing over it and spit in the devil's eye. Just do it with a smile on my face and be real happy about it. Ha, 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 ha. Hang on tight to God. Praise the Lord. And don't forget, there's a promise attached. Right? As we enjoy God, as we stay with Him, we're going to have more of His presence.
Amen. Thank you for joining Pastors Chaz and Joni today from Houston Faith Church. If you're looking for a good home church in Houston, Texas, we'd like to invite you to be our guest anytime. What you'll find is that Houston Faith Church is highly committed to the Word of God, the love of God, and the Spirit-filled life and ministry that Jesus expects. We know that everyone wants to make a difference in this life, and that the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing for all of us. You'll find your purpose here and grow strong in faith at Houston Faith Church. Find more faith-building resources on our YouTube channel or subscribe to our free audio podcast. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. See you soon.